For nearly 50 years, Red Smith wrote about the human condition as he found it reflected in our games. Some of what he wrote felt as if nobody else could have written it, such as when he described a prize fight between Ray Robinson and Carmen Basilio by contending that, quote, "you couldn't have scraped the winner off the loser with a putty knife." Dan Okrent has edited a new collection of Red Smith's newspaper columns titled American Pastimes. Dan, welcome back to Only a Game.
It's a pleasure to be here, Bill.
Let's start with a column Red Smith wrote in October of 1952. It's about a World Series game in which the Dodgers beat the Yankees, but the paragraph I find most memorable has nothing to do with either the Dodgers or the Yankees. Would you please read the eighth paragraph of that column?
Certainly. Customers expressed their emotions by wild animal cries, by boos and cheers for a California politician named Richard Nixon, first Republican to be jeered by a World Series crowd since Herbert Hoover got it in 1931, and in one instance by slugging an usher earnestly upon the mandible.
This business about slugging an usher earnestly upon the mandible suggests to me that Red Smith sometimes had a lot of fun while writing. What do you think?
Absolutely. It's a very funny way of saying it. The two key words there being earnestly and mandible. Mandible's pretty easy. You know, you want another word for jaw or face, that'll do it. But earnestly, I think that's really very charming and very Red Smith.
Intimations of fun notwithstanding, Smith once said something like, "writing is simple, all you have to do is open a vein." Do you think he was looking for sympathy when he said that?
I don't think so. I think that he said it so many times in so many different ways. He really found it hard because he wanted to get every word right. He was such a craftsman, working in such detail to get it right, that he sweated it. His choice of words is like no one else who has ever written about sports, I believe. Totally imaginative, totally his own. Same with his images, his metaphors. And, you know, he would sit in the press box after a game or after a horse race or a fight, and he would just type and tear the paper out, ball it up, throw it away, type, tear it up, throw it away. And then finally, he'd have something that he was happy with, and that would be in the morning's paper, and then it would be thrown away.
I think one of the most powerful columns in the collection is the one from January 8, 1971, which Smith wrote after former heavyweight champion Sonny Liston died. It ends with Smith's recollection of Liston the morning after he had won the championship. Would you please read the last two paragraphs of that
Certainly.
Column?
A visiting author came weaving into the room, took the floor and held it, making an ass of himself. Working stiffs tried to shout him down, but the new champion lifted a restraining paw. "Leave the bum speak," he commanded, benevolence itself.
Now, the visiting author has to have been Norman Mailer, right?
I would presume so, especially because of the weaving. That would be the giveaway.
And who else but Red Smith would have characterized Sonny Liston as, quote, benevolence itself?
He really loved Liston. It's funny. In his very last column that he wrote 4 days before he died, he invoked Liston again. There was something about Liston's genuineness that I think really appealed to him. He worked in a world where there were a lot of people who were very flamboyant and not so real. And Liston was, if nothing else, he was really real.
Red Smith also wrote a great deal about Muhammad Ali, and in one of those columns published on February 23, 1966, he characterizes the fighter's, quote, quarrel with his Louisville draft board as, quote, loud and tasteless, and then he accuses his subject of making himself, quote, as sorry a spectacle as those unwashed punks who picket and demonstrate against the war. Why did he feel that Ali's resistance to the Vietnam War was loud and tasteless?
Well, this is a very critical column, very important column in Smith's career. This was the moment before he changed politically, changed the way that he viewed the world socially. He had never seen a boxer do anything like this or any athlete do anything like this. I think that he thought it was improper for an athlete to assert politics the way that Ali did. And, of course, this was also amplified by Ali's colorful personality. And then you see over the next 7 or 8 years, you see how his attitude begins to change and then changes radically. You know, early on, after actually it wasn't that early, after the first Frazier fight, he said that, you know, if they fought 10 times, Frazier would beat him 10 times more. By the time they got to Manila, Red was ready to acknowledge that Ali was not only a truly great fighter, but a great man.
I wonder, did you perhaps think twice about including that column in the collection?
It's funny. It wasn't in the first pass, but I felt it had to be included. To not have it there is to hide a piece of the man that happened. This is who he was. But he changed. I think that one of the key changing events for him was the 1968 Olympics, when Tommy Smith and John Carlos lifted their gloved hands in protest on the winner's stand. And he applauded them for that. And that was the sort of acknowledgement that Red was entering a new era. He said himself that he learned from his stepchildren. He had a stepdaughter who was in college, and she really changed his way of looking at the world.
Ranking writers is the ultimate subjective exercise, of course, but I have to ask anyway, in your opinion, where on the list of greatest sports writers does Red Smith appear?
Well, you're kind of giving me a really nice softball there. He's number one. I think that he is the best. He maintained an extraordinary level of quality over a 50-year period, writing at some points during his career 7 times a week. In his last years, writing for the Times around the time that he won the Pulitzer Prize, he was as good as he had ever been. One of the things that was striking to me was to see how good he was when he was a kid, when he started out in the early 30s. I think that Smith sometimes gets belittled because he only wrote a newspaper column. He never wrote a book. And so no one could take him as seriously as they might have because he was writing for the morning paper, which was soon Wrapping Fish.
Dan Okren is the editor of American Pastimes, the very best of Red Smith, published by the Library of America. Dan, thank you very much for speaking with me.
It's been my pleasure.
Was Red Smith the best sports writer of his time, or does another scribe deserve that designation? Share your opinion by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/onlyagameradio. That's facebook.com/onlyagameradio.